Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. I hope you had a great holiday season, but it's time to get back to work. And we're going to start off our year with a great guest, a guy by the name of Jeff Howell from Worldwide Wadio. Who are they? They are big-time Hollywood commercial producers, and he'll tell us what they look for when they're casting their spots.
I'm going to talk about what changes you might make to your life, to your career, and what you're going to do to kick it off right for 2015. Is it going to be equipment? Is it going to be coaching? Let's share some ideas. And please send in your questions and suggestions to ewabshop@gmail.com.
And in my tip of the week, we're going to discuss the whole concept of the personal studio. So join us on East West Audio Body Shop, Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And join us in that wonderful chat room. We'll see all of you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
Yeah, and I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, it was 50 degrees yesterday. Now I think it's about 2.
Ooh.
So can't wait to make my way to Southern California next summer.
And it was 60 here last week and it was 78 today.
But I heard it was really cold New Year's Day.
It was. It was down in the 30s.
Ooh. Is it possible?
It's possible.
All right. I guess I have to bring at least one winter coat with me just in case.
Exactly.
See how cold it can get in the valley. Anyway, we're here tonight in East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great guest tonight. But first, we have to thank our fantastic sponsors, Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials. Go over their shop there. Edge Studio, VoiceAm, and VoiceOver Extra. Thank you, gentlemen, for all your help and support in keeping this show alive for episode 172.
Yeah, baby.
We are. And our guest tonight is a great guy. We've had a great time talking to him. His name is Jeff Howell, and he is a producer and director, and he does the big time Hollywood commercial stuff that we want to hear about. So he'll be on in about 15 minutes or so. We're going to have him on a little early tonight. So if you have any questions for him, of course, throw them in the chat room, and we'll be happy to ask him of those questions. And, of course, we have a few of our own. But first, now it's time for
time now to take a look at the news. EWAB's News.
Well, you're the one with the news story tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's me. It's me.
That's you.
That's my cue. We don't have much news tonight, and we're not going to waste your time with filling time, but there was one thing that I thought was just too actually entertaining to pass up. And on Facebook, just recently, somebody posted, a fellow named Cam Cornelius posted on Facebook, a parody piece of equipment made by Drawmer. And at first blush, when you first look at it, it doesn't look like anything too... Well, actually, it looks like a pretty cool piece of gear. It looks like something you might actually want to buy. But then when you start really looking at it closely, you start reading the names of the labels on the dials and the knobs, you start realizing this thing is a little bit different. So I'll shoot in on a little tighter shot of the gear. So basically the gear labels spell out the words to Bohemian Rhapsody. It's called the DBR 1975. So if you can think of the lyrics to Bohemian Rhapsody in your head, you know, think of them along as you look at what you see on here. It says reality, landslide. Okay, so it starts at the bottom. Is this the real life or is this fantasy? So you can go from life to fantasy.
Come and go, easy go.
Easy come, easy go on the a little high, little low, easy come, easy go. You know, it is really, really hilarious. I mean, these drummer gets a lot
very
of
clever.
Get a lot of credit. And then you'll love the back. First of all, look at the power switch on the back of this thing. It's a knife switch. And then the other side, this is my favorite part right here, is the other side. It's got a just got to get right out of here jacks. And then it's got thunderbolt, lightning, and another jack that is very, very frightening. Freaking hilarious, man. I love it when a company has the sense of humor to do something like that.
Absolutely.
Anyway, there's
that's the news.
And that's a look at the EWABS news.
All righty. Well, we're in the new year finally, and happy new year to everybody. And George, you had some thoughts on what is it you want to do in 2015?
Yeah, I was hoping that the chat room would be a lively one tonight and could give me some of their thoughts as well as we go along. I wanted to keep this kind of timely, topical, and have you guys involved. But I really want to just take a few minutes to talk about what type of things you guys are going to focus on to kick off 2015. I know people always talk about New Year's resolutions, and I don't know if I'm a big fan of that whole concept, but it's hard to ignore the fact that you're starting a new year. And there's certain things that you feel like you may want to refresh, you know. So I'd love to know what you guys are looking to do to refresh your careers as you go into 2015. You know, there's a lot of things you can focus on, tons of them. Amy E. Fisher says finding agents. That's one thing that she's going to focus on starting into 2015. Connie Twigler says she's going to stop bitching about the pay-to-play sites.
There yes, you go. Thank you, Connie.
Awesome. I love it. Nathan
that
Cundiff,
and a few other things.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
Nathan Cundiff says he wants to voice an animated series. Very awesome. I love it. Shelley says, I'm staying more vocally healthy and focusing on agents outside of the USA. I like that. You know, so sounds like the majority of these ideas are really not around technology and equipment, but really are more focused on technique and, you know, things that are going to improve your career. Amy Sorenzi says, my focus is trying to find a classroom-based DAW instruction. That's how I learn best. Any suggestions in the New York City area?
Hey,
good question, Amy.
I know some people there.
Yeah, we'll help you find something that you're looking for. Man, it's scrolling fast. You guys are really starting to jump in here. This is great. Diana wants to send out more demos and curb the addiction to the P2Ps. Oh, there you go.
Trey wants to do more narrations. Gee, don't we all?
Very good. I like that. Let's see. Eric Sapir says he's got the pieces of his home studio, and he's ready to assemble, test, and practice, and then a demo. Very good. Connie says she wants to get a good CRM system working.
Don't we all?
Yeah, that actually was a topic that just came up. Doug Turkel mentioned that his CRM system, which is called Batchbook, which is one I was actually looking at getting into before.
They raised the price on it or something.
They really raised the price on it. I mean, I think they more than tripled the price. I think it was like a 500% increase. So the downside of using CRM solutions that are subscription-based, like the Batchbook and anything else, is that you're totally at their mercy. And if they pull a nasty trick on you and raise the rates, you're kind of in a tight spot.
Yep.
More coaching for Shelley. What else? More coaching from Diana. Yeah, she's looking for more coaching as well. Beginner VO says she's starting her career and looking for VO classes. That's great. Steve wants to be able to rock the demo and then be able to back it up. That is significant. How many people cut demos or are coached into making an incredible demo, and then when you're thrust into the audition situation, you're going, holy cow, I'm not able to.
Not going to happen.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good one. So, you know, starting with coaching, I think everybody should start with three things, right? Start with revisiting coaching. If you're not working with a coach already, find one that you've liked in the past and book one solid session with that coach. you know, 1 hour of intense, let's evaluate where you are, let's evaluate where you want to go. I think that's a no-brainer. Everybody should probably start off with a coaching session.
Should you be doing this in the first place?
Yes, exactly. I think everybody should have a technical checkup on their audio quality. Make sure that your audio quality that you're sending out is as good as you think it is. Sometimes you get used to hearing a certain way, hearing the audio a certain way, or you don't realize that things are changing and shifting over time. Especially a problem with people that use tube equipment that changes quality over time. And you might want to have someone to take a listen to your audio. So that's something that Dan and I could certainly help you with. So I could say a refresh of your audio is a great idea.
Absolutely.
Another one is to, and I'll mention a little thing I'm doing for the month of January later on in the show that ties into that. And last but not least, you know, something to help your business from an operating standpoint. So the CRM, which is, what is that? Customer retention management? What is
customer relations?
Relation management. Sorry. Yeah. Customer relations management. Super important to have a system in place. That might just be a really organized email box. You know, it could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but having something from your business that keeps your business running well so it's not wasting your time, finding a way to improve your productivity is probably another great aspect to how you start off 2015. Are you doing anything new for the year? I mean,
yes,
moving.
I'm moving. Aside from moving in July, I'm going to let the wife take over the books.
Sweet. That's a really good idea. No, that's a brilliant idea.
It's a brilliant idea, and it scares the heck out of me. You spent money on what?
Is that because you can't hide how much money you're making, what you're spending it on?
Well, I think it's the spending. She knows how much I'm making, but, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, so, getting that off your plate is a really great idea.
Yeah, it is. And absolutely. Besides, she has an MBA and I don't. And that makes things a lot easier.
Exactly.
Anyway, why don't we get into some Q&A here before we get to our guest in just a little bit here.
Yeah.
And remember, if you have a question, technical question, a question, marital advice, any of those things, you know, send them in here to ewabshop@gmail.com. But we got a couple of really good questions this week. And first one is from Rob Marley. Dan, that's me. I'm running a Rode NT1 into a Scarlett 2i2, excellent, and into my Windows laptop, Dell Inspiron, running Adobe Edition 5.5. Now, for some reason, when I set up a new recording and hit record, my system records a split second of audio as I click the record button. Okay. In other words, the recording picks up the sound of me clicking the button or hitting the keyboard shortcut. Now, this isn't a huge problem, but punching in a recording is a hassle because it requires me to have to go back and trim off the extra audio at the start of the record. Any ideas on how to fix this? Well, I'm just kind of wondering what you're talking about there, Rob, but here's how I edit something. And let me do a quick screen share here, George. So it's
yeah. While you're doing that, I know exactly what he's talking about because I have one client who actually does punch and roll recording this way, where they actually hit record and start reading without editing the punch in. And so the sound of your finger physically clicking the mouse or the keyboard is actually picked up by the mic and it's in the recording. So that's what Rob's talking about.
Right. Well, the thing is when you record something, if you're doing a drop in, now if you're doing a pickup and you're doing it like a drop and roll.
Yeah.
You can't really do that in Audition, which is what he's talking about here. But if you've got something where you've got to adjust something, for example,
I can't hear it, but that's okay. We get the point.
Now wait a second here. We'll get this right. I screen share. Oh, share computer sound.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Okay. Share screen. Okay. Boom. Share computer sound. There we go. Okay,
drum roll, now, please.
All right.
Meep.
Now you can hear it, right?
No, it's not making it across. But so, anyway. So what are you going to show? You're going to show that.
Well, I wanted to show that if you're going to do a drop in, the best way to do it, if you've got a file like this one where, you know, that's playing, you know, playing the audio,
yeah.
And you need to change something somewhere, the idea is to find a consonant. Where you can do the edit and just go to the end of, well, first off, find where the mistake is. Say the mistake is like here, put a marker there, hit the M key. and then record at the end of the file. So all you have to do is find that piece, zoom in real tight, so if there's any clicks or anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, the key to editing is just zooming in really, really tight. And then copying that.
Yeah.
Going back to the mark and replacing that which you put in.
Yeah.
You know, and there it is. I mean, if you left out a word or something along those lines, but when you use the consonant, it will come out sounding as if there was never anything there. I'm trying to figure out what he means by it's picking up the sound of him hitting the mic. If you just edit around that, because he's like, I don't want to go back and edit it. Well, edit it as you're copying the original file and then pasting it in.
Now, what he means is when you physically press the button on the keyboard to hit record, the sound of your finger letting go of the key is picked up by the mic and it's recorded. Like, I've heard mouse clicks in recordings all the time. My wife edits audiobooks and she'll hear a little click in the recording sometimes, and it's the sound of somebody's mouse clicking. And that's in the recording because they didn't punch in properly. So I think the bottom line is Adobe Audition was never designed with punch and roll recording in mind. I mean, just never was designed for it. There are hacks to do it. I've read online from here to there that people have come up with scripts and all sorts of crazy workarounds to make Adobe Audition sort of do punch and roll recording. But you know, the other workaround is just don't use a mouse that you have to make a clicking sound with. Like, I use a trackpad that I have set up for touch sensitivity. There's no click involved. I just touch it. I mean, it is the quietest mouse click ever because there's no click at all. It's just a touch of the trackpad. That works for me. Now, I'm not doing punch and roll recording, but that could be a nice workaround. Use a trackpad that doesn't require a click.
That solves that.
Yeah, you can also use a keyboard maestro automator. Like, I don't know what they have for Windows, but on the Mac, you can get this thing called keyboard maestro and say, whenever I click certain key on keyboard, wait for a quarter of a second and then start recording. So the sound of you clicking isn't actually in the recording. I've actually done that for somebody on Twisted Wave, but it's a bit of a hack. So from David Gibson, this is for me. I've watched a lot of your shows and I know you've addressed it many times, but I wasn't sure if I was viewing a general answer for the masses from beginners to pros. There's an old thread floating on the internet of a question you answered for someone a few years ago about the Symmetrix 528E voice processor. To your credit, you have been very consistent in your answer, but again, I wasn't sure if the answer applied to everyone. We look at Joe Cipriano with his Avalon M5, Scott Rummel with his 737. I saw a video of Kimberly Brooks with her Twinfinity, and we out here in the VO wasteland sometimes wonder, are we missing out on something? Especially if we want to be the next VO stars.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, as you say, Dan, usually your thing is don't buy the gear to earn the work. Once you've made, you know, you've earned the work and you're making the money, buy the fancy gear. I mean, whatever floats your boat. But I can tell you this. I got plenty of voice acting clients, such as Joe Cipriano, you know, that have this equipment in their studio. But when they go on the road, they're not dragging their Avalon and their LA-4 compressors in a suitcase. They're plugging a 416 into a Micport Pro or a Shure X2U or an Apogee One and recording that spot from the backseat of a car sometimes. So, I mean, that tells you a lot. I mean, you don't need the fanciest equipment. They have it because they can.
They have
it because they can. The equipment we can buy these days, turnkey, like this, like right here, this is the Scarlett Solo. It's still in the outer box. I haven't even opened it yet. It's for a client. The Scarlett Solo is a $100 mic interface, preamp, headphone amp, the whole thing. You know, it's $100. And the preamps in it are derived from a $4,000 red preamp made by Focusrite. So they've taken the main part. Yeah, there just like the one that Dan has. The preamp circuit is a condensed down version of a huge expensive rack piece of gear and condensed into a small box. And this is all done with modernization, shrinking of circuits, the whole thing. You're going to get incredible sound with the right mic plugged into a basic interface and good acoustics. The rest of the stuff is fun for those that have the money to spend on it. Maybe that, you know, there's just a little something that they've heard in their own voice that sounds nicer when they use this piece of gear because they've been listening to themselves for 20 years and they want to hear something that they didn't hear before. But generally, they don't even hear the difference. I could do a blind A-B for most of these top VO actors you're talking about, and they would have no clue that I switched out pieces of gear. I've actually done it. So, you
well,
know.
I like the story you take. You know, people are always asking you about Don LaFontaine's studio.
Exactly. What did Don's studio have that your studio doesn't?
Don LaFontaine.
Exactly. You know, I mean, don't get caught up into it. It's a lot of fun. We love talking about the gear. That's one reason why we started this show. But it's not going to make or break the career. There are certain things that are going to degrade audio quality that, if not done right, will hurt your audition, you know, your ability for your auditions to convert to jobs. And that's what we're here to help you figure out. But trust me, don't blow the money on the gear until you're making the money.
Right. And even then, it may not be necessary.
No.
Especially if you're going over to somebody else's studio, like our guest, Jeff. Jeff, oh,
that's right.
You. Don't touch that mic.
Exactly.
Anyway, all right. Well, we've got Jeff coming up in just a couple of minutes here, and you know, if you have any questions for him, of course, you want to hear what he has to say first, and then you might ask him some questions.
That's right.
But anyway, but first we have to talk about one of our sponsors, and mm-hmm. I have to show you something. So I'm going to share my screen again.
Right on.
All right.
Switch to your camera.
I'm going to switch to my camera.
I like it when you share the screen. It's less for me to do. I just switch to your camera and boom, we got it on screen.
Okay. Well, here's what my desktop looks like right now, but I mm-hmm. got to show you this. This is my new website.
Oh, and really clean. I like it.
Yeah. And, you know, using the logo, but it has something really cool on it. And it's this thing right here. Mm-hmm. And it is VoiceXAM. And for those of you not familiar with VoiceXAM, obviously you've either been living under a rock or you need to learn about this really fine piece of a platform that you can put into your website and anywhere else you have your you can put your profile and put some code in there. But by putting your demo in here and using the different reads that you have mm-hmm. in an individual promo or in your commercial demo here, for instance, it will play it as it exists, as you have it set up, but it breaks it down into individual reads on the player. So if I want to play my demo, somebody wants to play my demo and just click play, it will play my normal demo. If you want to play an individual cut or something like that, well, I want to hear how Dan does a health read.
70 years of putting patients before profits. 70 years of being there for every...
They get an idea what I sound like with that?
I got the audio.
Can't get to sleep? Can't stay asleep? That's why there's Unison.
So it will play all of your demos individually, but it will play them also in order. And you can do it with as many demos as you want, which is really, really cool. So my commercial demo, my documentary demo, and e-learning demo are all on here. And guess what? You can play video on here.
Nice.
So there's video on there, and so which is really the more popular thing that you've got to have with...
Oh, yeah. Talk about new things for 2015.
Video.
I think having a video reel is... If you have any content on video, you should have a video reel.
So what I suggest you do is go over to voicexam.com and buy their service. It works great. It's, you know, everybody's intimidated by it. It's actually very, very simple. All you got to do is read the instructions. And Bob Merkel has some great videos that will talk you through the entire thing. And it works. And it's the official voiceover demo player for voiceover.biz, the new World Voices organization.
That's right.
Site. So,
and I believe we have a promo code, right? Is the EWABS promo code still active? I believe it is. If it's not working for you, let us know. But there is an EWABS promo code that you can use for a discount when you sign up.
Yep.
So don't forget that.
Just mention that. VoiceXAM, go over there.
Please do.
Yeah.
And we will be right back. We're going to have one more spot and then we'll have Jeff and he's waiting to go. I see him right there smiling, patiently waiting. So we'll be right back in a minute after this.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
This is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Now, back to Dan and George.
We've got a great guest, a guy who's very accomplished in our business. Somebody we should have had on a long time ago.
I know.
But we didn't. Now we finally have the opportunity, and we are thrilled to have him joining us from a great little company called Worldwide Wadio is Jeff Howell. He is the vice president of production there, and he is a director and a voiceover coach for commercials and promo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Now,
absolutely.
The first question we're obligated to ask all guests is, how on earth did you get into this, and how did you get into the real high end of producing commercials? I mean, there's lots of us that were making commercials and radio and for local stations and stuff like that, but you're doing the big time stuff.
Well, it's a long story, but basically I started out as a talent agent and in the voiceover department and worked there for about 5 or 6 years, and then went into casting. And then went into production, and here I am. A couple of different companies along the way, but it's a nice journey. And then I've been teaching, started a coaching business and all that. And so I have that going on at the same time as this production business now. So it's a great long, long journey, but I've enjoyed every second of it.
Wow, it's a fun business.
Yeah.
Now, what exactly are all your responsibilities as VP of production over there?
Well, I oversee most of the productions. I mean, Paul Fay, the owner, also oversees a lot of productions, mainly a lot of the productions he produces and writes and all that. I oversee a lot of the produce-only jobs, meaning that we're not writing them, but producer the ad agencies or networks will call us and they'll have us, they'll send scripts and want us to produce them. And so I'll take care of running between the casting, dealing with the contacts at the agencies or the networks, and then going through the process of directing and then sitting with the engineer and making sure, you know, we're producing and get it through post and hopefully have a happy client.
Yeah. Now you do the casting too?
We do. In the ad work, we work in conjunction with Elaine Craig Casting, and I'll certainly get involved with them. They're our sister company and they're in the suite next door to us over in Hollywood. And then, you know, for a lot of the promo work, sometimes in terms of casting, a lot of times the on-air person ends up being the voice for the radio as well. On-air will have already been recorded, so we're just told whom to hire, and so we'll have that person, we'll record, patch up with that person and link up with them, whether they're in New York or LA or Chicago or wherever, and use them. But there are times when we will do casting here for a network.
Interesting. And what do you look for? When you cast a spot, I mean, and you see the script, now the agency is giving you some specs on it. Do you have somebody in mind when you do that, or you just, how many people do you throw it out to?
Well, in terms of advertising, I would say, you know, the sky's the limit. It really, you know, we love using some of the same people we've used, the tried and true, but then also the ad agencies. And the way the market is these days, everyone's looking for fresh and new. And I enjoy working with fresh new talent as well, discovering new people. So it's about 50-50. Sometimes we end up seeing the same people occasionally on things because we know they're going to hit a home run. And there's something wonderful about that. But then also, I think that there is a wonderful perspective a fresh talent can bring to it, someone that isn't known or someone who we don't know. And we'll bring them in, work with them, and oftentimes they'll book it.
And they're always very happy when you do.
They are.
So how does the process work? Now, an advertising agency will contact you and say, we have this spot, go to it, or you all collaborate on it, or what?
Yes and yes.
Okay,
you know, it just depends on the ad agency. Sometimes I have one ad agency that totally trusts us, and basically they just like us to do the heavy lifting, and they'll hand us the script. And of course, the writers, producers there, creative directors will get involved, give us specs and things, but they also depend on us to bring a certain sort of added sort of creativity to it. And we'll oftentimes meet with them and say, we understand the specs are X, Y, and Z, but have you considered ABC, you know, something like that. And oftentimes we'll audition both and see what works. And then, then sometimes they'll just get directly involved and they'll say, this is all we want to see. And oftentimes that fits the actual concept of the spot too. It's not that they're so far off base. And if they are off base, we'll point that out to them and say, we'll do whatever you want. But our suggestion is we know what makes great radio, and that casting might be a lot better, more on target, or make more entertaining radio as opposed to what you've asked for. So, but we just try to make great radio in any way we can, you know. Yeah.
What's some of the stuff that you've done lately that people would recognize?
Well, mainly lately we've been doing a lot of our promo work. It's been very busy. Our promo season ranges from the end of July through December. And, you know, CBS is one of my clients. So we do a lot of promotions for launching of the new shows. And we worked with specifically a lot of the Monday comedy spots. We do promotions around sweeps. Mainly, we did some spots that were featured around Halloween. I always enjoy, I think I have a whole library for the last 10 years of spots that center around Thanksgiving with talking turkeys. And because one of the heads of marketing at CBS loves that concept, and we use it over and over again. So I have a couple of go-to turkey voices that I use all the time, and we always have a great time doing it. It's like a reunion every year, and it's always the turkey time. Come on in. So anyway, but you know, I think that mainly what you would probably have heard of things that we produce, mainly CBS is the biggest of in the fall. We do a lot of some of the other networks, such as, you know, Discovery and a lot of A&E network. Work. So, and in terms of promotions, we did some of the local spots in LA for water conservation for the Metropolitan Water District. You may have heard those. They've been running quite a bit, of course, due to the water conservation efforts going on in this Southern California area. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Heard a lot of those over the summer when I was driving along the streets of Southern California.
I produced those.
Now I know where I heard them.
Yes.
All righty. You're heavily involved in the industry. So what do you see as the trends? Now, everybody sees and hears what they're hearing and the stuff that they're seeing in a lot of audition specs and stuff. What do you see happening right now?
Well, I see the trend continuing of ad agencies expecting to hear fresh and new, and also to make sure that their promotions sound genuine. And when I'm coaching actors, I know that's one of the biggest tasks we have set before us, is to make these words, these ideas sound like their words. And as you know, and that can be very difficult when the language isn't written in that way. And so anyway, but I don't see any major change going on, not that I can sense. Maybe there's someone else out there that may be working on some campaigns now that might be revolutionary, and they're just coming out, and that might set a whole new trend in motion. But like you and I were discussing before, you know, a lot of our trends are dictated by pop culture, and so we always are attuned to that and what's going on in pop culture. And you know, youth is very, very popular, and so I see the trend of also a lot of young voices doing spots, and of course, celebrities doing spots. I see that continuing as well. I know you probably have spoken about that quite a bit. And but I think it's important for actors, no matter what your age, no matter what, is just continue to work on study, like you guys were mentioning before. I think it's a great way to start the new year, but also to make sure you're not getting beaten up and jaded by the business. And that's very difficult when you're out there auditioning all the time, and either whatever stage you're in, whether you're looking for an agent or you currently have an agent, I think it's important to try to stay as fresh as possible, as positive as possible. Think about reinventing yourself, and that doesn't have to be a major reinvention, but it's just maybe when I'm coaching actors privately, and I'll say, if it ain't working right now, what's the fear in changing it? you never know.
Absolutely.
And so I really, really emphasize that I think training is important in terms of checking in and making sure you're not just going in and going through this rote process of walking into your home booth, reading copy, sending it out either to pay or plays, or you're sending it to your agent and never hearing back. And I think that I think it's just important to do all that. So in a long-winded and I probably answered a couple of questions in there. But I think that overall, in terms of trends, I don't know if there's really a specific one. It's just about really just trying to stay relevant, connected to pop culture, knowing what's going on out there all the time, and just working on your craft.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of working on your craft, I mean, one of the things I'm looking forward to when I get to Southern California is I'll get to take workshops. Hard to do when you're sitting freezing your tuchus off in Buffalo. But I am looking forward to that. And I see that you also are a voiceover coach and you do classes and stuff like that. And I think you've got one coming up with a good friend of ours, Jody Gottlieb, on the 24th. Do you?
Yes. Not? Yeah. Jody and I team teach quite a bit. And we have over the holidays, we got together and we discussed some great ideas of some new workshops that we have in the works. But we have our promo workshop, one day intensive, coming up on the 24th. And that tends to be really popular because I think a lot of people, even known professionals, take the class just because they really enjoy getting that feedback from us when we put them in the booth. And Jody and I have this great system where we play sort of the he said, she said sort of thing. Because I'll have one style of coaching and she has one that we're similar and yet different. And we come from different backgrounds, but yet we've worked together on a number of projects. I've hired Jody on projects at our office. And so I know her style. So anyway, so we have an interesting sort of symbiotic relationship in the booth, in the studio. And I think the actors really enjoy that because I'll give my perspective and direction and she'll give her perspective and direction. And our goal is just to get a really great read from each actor. And so we'll have one person in the booth and she'll direct and she'll then hand it off to me and I'll direct and I'll have a breakthrough with an actor and then vice versa. Sometimes I'll take an actor as far as I possibly can and then I'll hand it off to Jody and she'll have some wonderful small comment about moving her hands or doing something. She has a more physical way of directing that I don't really teach. And that sometimes really speaks to people. And so I've been amazed watching her direct and getting those performances from these people. So I think in essence, people enjoy taking these classes where we team teach, whether it's commercial or promo, because they really get a perspective from two different instructors. And as I tell everyone in that room, this is a sample of what goes on out there in the business because it can be very subjective. I can sit here in my studio with three other directors, producers. I can love a take and they can hate a take. And we're both right. It's just subjective. So anyway, I think the actors really enjoy that process, watching it really happen.
Yeah, I think I've been in on a couple of sessions like that. Always fun. What are they thinking? You know.
Yeah.
That's one of the questions I think a lot of people ask when they're in a session or something like that, especially if they're on ISDN or some remote thing, and it goes blank on the other end, they'll say, we'll be right with you. And they're wondering, are they talking about me?
Yeah.
Are they talking about the script? Although somebody said today that I thought it was they were talking about me, and then somehow they turned it back on and they were ordering lunch.
Yeah. Oh, that happens all the time. Oh, that happens all the time.
So you need to roll with it.
Don't ever worry.
Yeah, roll with it as the talent. Just trust.
Right. Absolutely.
And then throw in, I'll have a pizza or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
There they go. No, you're not here. It's not going to work that way. Hmm. Now, one of the things you were talking about, and I think this is probably one of the most vital things that people really need to grasp in this business, and I think you explained it pretty well. Being unique, because you're looking for unique voices. Mm-hmm. What is it that makes somebody unique? I mean, you think about Gilbert Gottfried, that's unique.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. But everybody's got some quirky little thing to their voice, but some people just have a little bit more. So what is it that you're really listening for?
Well, as you said, I mean, Gilbert's a great example. And I mean, he's got such a quirky personality and a voice to go along with it. And I think that, you know, there are some people that are blessed with quirky, naturally interesting voices that either have texture to it, or it could be or obviously a rasp, or even a pitch that is different, or a lilt to their voice, or even a little dialect or an accent or something like that. But I think that in terms of a unique approach, it's more about the acting. And I'm of the mind of all the voice coaches out there. I try to stress the acting more so. And I really do believe that when you get a script and you're breaking it down and you're looking at the direction and the specs and trying to come up with your own choices, making those choices, I think it's a matter of not necessarily, I don't expect people to go opposite of the direction. I don't expect people to go totally in a different direction. However, I do think that it's good to think a little bit outside the box, see what else you can bring to it that will set it aside. You don't want to just be a robot when you go in the booth. And to that point, a little slightly a sidebar to that, when I'm coaching commercial conversational reads, and the actors sometimes get, I think they become afraid of giving more emotion to a spot because they feel that's too acted, overacted. Well, what ends up happening is because of that sensitivity, they flatten their reads out so much that it's not that they're monotone. It's just that they're just flat emotionally. So I always tell actors, don't be afraid to give the spot an appropriate amount of emotion and personality. And I think that part of that could be in terms of trying to find a unique perspective of that is to bring more personality to it. Don't be afraid to infuse the spot with a little bit more emotion, personality. And if it's radio, certainly if it fits, add an ad lib in there. I know with TV, we're a little bit more sensitive to that. But I think actors are so afraid these days of not hitting the mark that they sit, they look at the direction, they come up with the read, they go in the booth, they perform it, and it sounds like everyone else's read. It becomes a little too cookie cutter. It becomes a little too, I'm not going to say perfect, but it fits the specs so tightly that I think to my ear, it's the read is too tight. I want a little bit more soul in the read. So if you don't have the natural sort of extra texture, if you don't have that different pitch or that odd sort of personality to put into it, I'm not saying force it, but what I'm saying is give yourself permission to bring a little bit more soul to your read, a little bit more character, a little bit more personality to your read without, again, without taking it over the top, without going too extreme, because then of course then the ad agencies are going to say, oh my God, that guy's acting way too much. I'm not saying do that, but what I'm also saying is don't be boring. Don't be bored with your reads. Give it some personality.
That's great advice, and I think everybody appreciates that. Well, we only have a limited time with you this evening, so we want to make sure we get best use out of it. You've answered you've really set the tone for, you know, I think what people understand and some people need to understand about the business. But our wonderful audience that's in the chat room has some great questions for you as well. And we'll do a few of those, and then we have to go to a break. But let's start off with a couple of here. Shelly Avellino, who's running the chat room tonight. And Shelly, you get to run it. You don't get to ask all the questions. He was wondering, what are your goals for for your company going forward in 2015?
Well, I think that obviously we'd like to have more business here. And I think it's a matter of looking towards the future and seeing where there are other possibilities to do production in audio. And I think that's the big question. You know, we've experimented with different things, and we continue to throw out the net and try to see what happens. You know, the good news is we have a great reputation out there with advertising and with promo, and we continue to get that business. And I think that's certainly great. But I think there's always looking towards the future and trying to figure out other revenue streams. And I think that's what we're obviously going to try to continue doing in 2015.
Absolutely. Connie Terwilliger and Diana Birdsall also ask, when you're talking about hiring outside of studio talent, do you want local talent or will you use ISDN talent? Have you started using Source Connect or IPDTL or any of the alternative IP remote platforms?
I think that, you know, we traditionally will go through the talent agents because our work is union. And so we and I have great relationships with many of the agents. A lot of them are dear friends of mine just because I came from that world many, many years ago. And I also trust them. But I also work with agents in Chicago and New York as well. I'm close with a bunch of the agents in New York. So and managers out there, a few of the managers that exist, especially in the promo world, the managers are a bit more relevant, I think. But anyway, you know, certainly, you know, in terms of working with people, we're not afraid, certainly, of working with people that are in any part of the country. God knows we have connected with people who are, you know, in St. Louis and obviously San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, all that. So, but in terms of getting access to us to get on our radar, it's a bit harder if you're not represented or with a manager, you know, and don't have some sort of reputation. Otherwise, it's hard for us to find you, you know, and get access to you.
Right. So do you see those technologies really coming into their own, or do you think ISDN is going to just last forever?
That's an interesting question. You know, I purposely try to stay out of technical talk to a certain degree, and I let my engineers do the technical talk. But when I run classes, and I always encourage the actors to network and to discuss amongst themselves a lot of their frustrations with the technologies. And rumor has it, and George, you could probably correct me too if I'm wrong, but apparently ISDN, it's a lot harder to get it these days. Isn't it that the telephone companies are saying it's not a profit source for us anymore, so we're limiting the amount of ISDN lines that we're giving out, or if they're even giving out any new ones? I don't know.
It's getting way harder. It's getting way harder, more costly to operate, and it's getting so costly for the networks to use that one of the big four is going all in with Source Connect. This starting right now. So, you know, it's definitely, there's a shift going on as the phone companies are making it more hostile for those who want to use ISDN, because it's just, if it's not making them enough profit, they want to eliminate it.
Of course, exactly. So I've been hearing a lot of murmurs about Source Connect and then a few other things. And I think the one comment, and I'm sure, again, you guys could obviously talk about, is that there's a certain unstable feature of Source Connect that people are afraid of. So we're not at the point where we're ready to make that leap yet, but I know that we're hoping that within the next couple of years that there will be a more stable format through the internet.
Through usage, the more usage it gets, the better it'll probably get.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Well, we've got to take a quick break here because we want to make sure we get as many questions in as we can, and we only have you till 7 o'clock Pacific time. So first, we got to talk about Harlan Hogan here, George.
Yes, yes.
So throw him up on the screen. One of our sponsors is a great guy, a guy who has been here since, we like to say, since the telephone was invented. But not quite that long. Harlan Hogan has a great website. Not only he still is a great voice actor, but he has a great website, and that is voiceoveressentials.com. If you need equipment for your studio, if you want a new microphone, if you want cool accessories, you want the best headphones, you go over to voiceoveressentials.com, because he's got all his signature series stuff, the headphones, the VO1A microphone, which is a great microphone at a great price point for voiceover. You use that, you really won't need anything else. Well, you can use something else, but you really won't need it. And there's also other stuff that he has on there, lots of other cool features.
Yeah,
he's got a special running this week.
There's no special running now, but I was going to say, you know, we feature a lot of parts of the website, but one part I wanted to show that we haven't shown is he's got a great FAQ. He's got a great FAQ section on here that's not just about, you know, what he sells, but it's about the technology of voiceover in general. There's a lot of stuff on here. I never really noticed how much information. He says things like, how can I reduce the noise in a hotel room? What is a USB?
Unplug the Coke machine out in the hallway.
Exactly.
This is his favorite answer to
what
that.
Is a USB microphone? Are they professional sounding? What is compression, EQ, and noise reduction? There's a lot of information on this FAQ. You could spend an hour or two just reading this and probably learn a tremendous amount about recording audio. So, I mean, it's just one of the many things that he provides, to the little value added that he provides over at voiceoveressentials.com.
And great customer service, and anything you could possibly need, he probably has it. If he doesn't have it, you probably don't need it. Anyway, go over to voiceoveressentials.com and buy his stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
All righty. I think it's time for my spot, too.
Yeah, we'll be right back right after this.
Don't go away.
Guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the East West Audio Body Shop. Stop! Meow! Snails like it too.
And we're back here in East West Audio Body Shop. Our guest is Jeff Howell from Worldwide Wadio, which is a big production company here in L.A. See, my brain is already there. I'm still stuck where it's 2 below 0, but my brain is already in Southern California. I guess they call that California dreaming. Anyway, a couple more questions from our audience here. David Bonal, the great lineman from, and that's electrical lineman, from Albuquerque, New Mexico, has a question. He says, how are you able to stay current with the trends? And what techniques can those outside of Hollywood, like in Albuquerque, stay up to date with the latest trends?
Let's see. How do you stay current? And if you're out of town... Okay, so I would say, well, the best way to do it is to make sure you're studying your craft by watching television, and I say watching by listening to television. You want to listen to the commercials, listen to the promos, close your eyes, try not to let the visuals distract you. So that's, I definitely suggest closing your eyes. And also, when you're in your car, turn on the radio. Don't close your eyes when you're driving, but listen to the radio promos, listen to the radio spots. You know, it's just studying your craft, seeing what's current, what's going on out there. And that's the best way to do it. I have people in LA do that all the time. In fact, I also have actors transcribe copy from online or on TV and to actually practice it and listen to the reads that are going on out there. I'm not saying you should imitate the reads, but I think it's just good to listen to the way the actors are being directed at this moment in time on the spots and know that that's what the advertisers are buying. You want to make sure you have the same shelf life.
Yeah, it's a lot like jazz musicians need to study jazz. You know, they're the best students of the music because they have humongous libraries of it.
Right.
You know, but you don't have to buy voiceover. It's on TV every day.
Exactly. I know.
It's right free there. Free to study.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's a lot more of it than less of it these days too.
That's right.
Yeah. And the internet has changed a lot of that too. Lots of great stuff on the internet.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Beginner VO asks a very interesting question. Her question is what's the next step to becoming a casting director?
Ooh.
So the beginning VO person wants to know how to become a casting
director. Yes.
Wow, that's quite a leap.
Yes, it is.
I haven't really given a casting director class before. I would say, well, if the beginning VO person is in Los Angeles, then I would say try to go become an assistant at one of the casting offices and learn the craft that way. Mm. That's really the only way you can get access to that is to be in a city where casting is going on and to then just start knocking on the doors and checking the job site, the job listings, and hope to get into a casting office. Or you could go in and be at a talent agency in their voiceover department as an assistant, and you could get in that way. And which is the way I did it.
Yep. Sometimes in the voiceover business, if you're well established, people ask you, do you know anybody? And suddenly you find yourself casting spots yourself, which is always true. A lot of fun too.
That does happen. Yeah.
And sometimes people draft, you know, sort of drift into it and become agents.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one reason why social media is so hot for voiceover, because everybody finds that they end up getting casted by their colleagues sometimes.
Exactly. It's true. It's very true.
Mm-hmm. Referral is an excellent part of our business. Question from Diana. She says, how do we sign up for the workshop with Jeff and Jody?
Oh, very good question.
Well, you can go, Jody and I both are on Facebook, so you can check our Facebook sites, just Jody Gottlieb or Jeff Howell, and we can send you the information that way. I would suggest, I think Jody actually has the brochure on her site. You could go on her site and she could, it's either listed there on the site or she could send it to you.
Okay. I think she was in the chat room earlier, so if she's still there, just throw that up there, would you?
Yeah, please? Jody, send it to her.
Okay, excellent. All right. Shelley Avellino asks, Jeff, do you have a call from any international English voices? Australian, British, Avellino?
Well, no, not really. It's especially in the promo world, it's relatively straightforward, just American English, non-accented. Once in a while, we'll have a character read for a radio spot, and I'll need something a little different. But for the most part, it's just non-accented English. So in terms of commercial, sky's the limit. Could be just dependent on what the spot, the concept of the spot, you know. So that just depends on what's creatively is going on.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like, we need a British voice for this. We need someone who sounds exotic.
Yes.
Could you be a little more
generic exotic? Yes, yeah.
Yes, generic exotic, yes. Steve Tardio asks, which talent agencies do you use?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question.
And that's why Steve is asking it.
Well, we try to use all of them. How's that? But okay. I would say, you know, obviously there are agencies that are strong in certain departments. And so obviously we tend to gravitate towards those departments because we need those specific people. So in when I'm doing promo, for example, there are a number of agencies that have very strong dedicated promo divisions. And so we tend to gravitate towards those because they have incredible talent. And but if we're looking for something commercially, depending on how, you know, how broad we want to make the search, we'll sometimes open it up. I'll even look in New York and Chicago. And if it's something extremely rare or specific, I'll send out a breakdown and through Voice Bank, or I'll send it out through breakdown services because it may be, for example, I'll need a Portuguese voice, or I'll need, which did happen many years ago, or I'll need Hawaiian voices, which happened last year for Disney. We were doing a promotion for one of their resorts in Hawaii. And so we had to find authentic Hawaiian talent. And believe it or not, that was very difficult to find, but we did find it. But I had to go through breakdown services to do that.
There's one last question. This is a doozy, and we're going to let you go right after this because you're almost out of time. So I don't know how you're going to do this in 1 minute. Nazia Chaudhary asks, how important is it to be union to casting if an experienced VO talent is non-union, has agency rep, and lives in a right-to-work state?
Ooh.
Go!
You're on.
Oh, George, I've got to go. Look at the clock.
Oh, what
see
do you
later.
Know?
No. Oh, another big question. Well, you know, I have, because we're affiliated with a casting company that I mentioned before, Linkra Casting, and, you know, they do both union and non-union casting because they're not signatory to the union. They don't have to be. We're signatory to the union. But, you know, in terms of their casting, I've gone over there. They'll utilize my services to run auditions periodically. And I've gone over there over the last number of years and directed. And I've gotten to know a lot of the non-union talent. And there are some incredible, incredible non-union talent. And so, you know, it's For us, it puts us in a predicament because since we are signatory to the union, we can't work with a non-union talent. But there are a lot of non-union talent out there that deserve to work. And I think that if you're in a right-to-work state, hopefully there are jobs that come through that you have access to where you can work and it doesn't, you know, that you'll have access to it because it wouldn't reflect badly. If you're not with the union, then it wouldn't reflect badly because you're not, the union's not going to slap your hand. You're not with the union anyway.
Right.
But I think that in terms of accessing the jobs that we do, it'd be a lot more difficult and almost impossible to work for us if you're non-union. But I do know that there are a number of companies in LA that do work union and non-union. And so there is that kind of work going on out there and no judgment against that. I think that people right now are just trying to get jobs and get access. And now that the unions have combined after in SAG, I think they're trying to work out all the kinks still. And so I think it's going to be – that's a whole separate show you guys could have is talking about the future of the union and have people both sides, non-union and union, discussing what they see as the future, where that future is going with union and non-union, and how the and how SAG is going to try to encourage more people to become signatory to the union and not lose. And that's the problem.
Going to be a wicked, awesome round
table. I'm bringing a helmet for that one.
That's going to be an awesome one.
I would watch that show, definitely.
All right. Well, there. Okay. I'll tell our producer, Catherine.
Duly noted.
We do duly noted. Well, I put that in there. Well, as we discussed earlier, we're not on the network, but we do have to get off at the top of the hour for you. So, Jeff, we really appreciate you coming in and sharing your knowledge on this, and can't wait to have you on again.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me, and good luck, you guys. You have a great show, and I hear a lot about you all. So good luck. Keep it up, you know?
Thank you.
Appreciate it so much.
Yes. Okay. Jeff Howell.
Good night, Jeff. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And I think we got a tip of the week coming up and some stuff. So stay where you are.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
All right, we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop. And, gee, I just clicked on the wrong thing. I want to get back to my notes here.
Now you know how I feel tonight.
Yeah, but no, it was one click, and I'm back, and I knew exactly Excellent. Where we are. All right. Thanks again to Jeff Howell for joining us. Boy, he knows his stuff.
Yeah, he really does.
Got to have him on again. But
total
I really... I really like that suggestion about having a discussion about the union, because we really haven't talked much about the union. Although I think, you know, we have a lot of union members in the audience, but I think most probably aren't and are curious. And
it's so complicated because it's such a regional thing, right?
Yep.
It's such a regional discussion. It doesn't apply in some majority of the country, but it applies in the biggest markets. And I think it'd be a great idea. I look forward to doing that. We'll make that happen in the next few months. I'm sure we'll find Absolutely. A slot and get some of the folks who are really vocal and very knowledgeable on the subject on all sides.
Something like Paul Pape.
Paul he Pape, knows. Absolutely. Randy Bergen. Thomas. Randy Thomas. Yeah, Bob Bergen.
We'll get them all on here.
Exactly.
And put them all up against me, the non-union guy.
Well, I mean,
watch me get pummeled.
We need to have, you know, people representing the different markets.
Right.
You know, I think that would be one really way to, we don't need a pile of Hollywood union people piled up against everybody else. I think we need to have people from the different markets. You know, we should have someone from New York, one, someone from LA, someone from wherever there's jurisdiction. And then, you know, the other folks who are in non-union jurisdiction, whatever, right to work states and all that stuff.
Yep. It's all important. All righty, what are we going to get into?
Tip of the week.
We have a tip of the week. One of the things I like to talk about is that this is this is our home, and yes, I'm the home studio master, and we talk about home studios, but it's time to change, as I like to say, the nomenclature of the entire concept.
What was that?
People like the nomenclature.
Oh yes.
The way we talk about stuff. Pardon my French.
Actually, I think your French was too good, and I didn't understand what you were saying. But when you
like
slowed it
French.
Down, when you started, when you slowed it down, I actually understood.
Okay. Anyway, here's our tip of the week on personal studios.
You know, I think it's time we changed the name of what we call our home voiceover studios. Home studios seem to mean something different to talent seekers that perhaps it shouldn't. To ease their fear and give people more confidence in what you offer, let's now refer to our practice home studios as
personal voiceover studios. In order to raise our status as true professionals, from a public relations point of view, it makes sense. Our home is our home. Our office or studio is another thing. But as we say week after week here, no one needs to see how the sausage is made. They just want to hear the sizzle, smell the aroma, and taste what they've been anticipating. Clearly, having a studio at home has its pros and cons. The pros? Flexibility with your schedule. If you own your house, it's a partial tax write-off. You are your own boss. No one's looking over your shoulder. During weekdays, it's pretty quiet. Your favorite food is right there when you need it. And when you need some love, it's close at hand, too. The cons? It's not the ideal acoustical environment. The attraction of what we love doing professionally can distract from what's really important. Garbage day and landscaping is a challenge. Depending on your family size, after school ends, all hope of having that quiet space you need, gone. All of these factors can be controlled somewhat. You can get a soundproof booth, which can help, at great expense. You lay down the law about noise. You learn infinite patience.
Serenity now!
So while technology allows us to do what we do in the confines of our castles, no one need know where you're recording. If you're doing a Skype session or other video communications, do it from your booth. The only thing that matters is how does your audio sound? So on your websites, pay-to-play profiles, and business cards, next time you print them, you have a PPVOS, a personal professional VO studio. Even I'm impressed with that. And that's my tip of the week.
Yeah, just as valid now as it was when I did that back, I think it was in May. But that was one of those things that came out of WovoCon, actually. It's like, why don't we keep calling them personal or home studios, you know?
It's great because I work with people and I realize they've watched our show and they've heard us because they'll say that. They'll say, I'm working in my personal studio. And I'd be like, yes, you must be watching UFs.
You're watching the show. All right. That's good to know. But, you know, yeah. I mean, this is my home. You know, this is upstairs. You know, I'm finding I spend an awful lot of time in here lately. And it's like a time warp. You know, I was working on something this morning. I get up, I get Jacob off to school and have my coffee, come up here, start working. Then it's time for lunch. And then suddenly it was 6 o'clock. Find the wife sleeping on the couch. It's like, dinner? Are we going to have dinner? You
know? Exactly.
It's important that people who are hiring us, as they see on our website, I have a personal professional studio. It makes a heck of a lot more sense because when you say home studio, they're thinking all the stuff that we showed in there.
Well, and there's some good points coming up in the chat. I mean, that kind of announcer Doug says he thinks that personal kind of minimizes it. Why not call it professional?
Well, and that's part of it too.
We could call it personal professional studio. I think the problem with the word professional is that it's been ruined by marketing, and so there's so many products that are quote unquote professional grade, or, you know, tools that basically in the world of audio or almost anything that has tools, cameras, audio, power tools, if the word professional is printed on the side of that tool, it's probably not really professional.
And that's a professional eWeb clicker here.
I mean, that's what I have seen. It's like we see marketing, you see professional, and it's used to remind the homeowner or the guy who wants to look like he's a real contractor that if he drives this vehicle or uses this tool, he'll feel and look like a professional. But the real Pro Tools don't really have the word pro. Well, except maybe the word Pro Tools have the word professional in them. So, I mean, that's my two cents. But yeah, how about just use broadcast quality? No, just kidding.
No, do not use broadcast quality.
We talked about that one. Stay away from broadcast quality.
Yeah, people still use it. I mean, it's fascinating, the stuff that we hear and the stuff that people have been sending us and the questions we get.
Yeah.
Of course, I've got a webinar coming up in February with VoiceOver Extra about mic choice. Do you have that picture I sent you? Let's throw that up. But let's see what people think about this one. Because everybody asks, what's the best microphone for voiceover? You know, Chris, my usual answer is the one you have.
Right, exactly.
And then there's the answer that you gave about Don LaFontaine. What did Don LaFontaine use? Don LaFontaine.
Exactly.
What does Joe Cipriano use? Joe Cipriano uses Joe Cipriano.
I'll have what he's having, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's not the equipment, kids, I'm telling you.
Yeah, there is no doubt. Yeah, no, I've got that. Let me see if I got that shot here. Right.
Now, before you throw that up there.
Okay, before I throw it up.
This is what I suggested to John Florian that we use to promote this webinar, because people ask this question all the time, and we keep giving the same answer. So I this morning this sort of came across my brain, and I just had to do it. So
yeah, here it is.
Let's see what people think about this particular one.
That's awesome. It's so campy. It's perfect. It's yeah.
Right. Because I will give the final definitive answer on this. What's the best microphone?
That's
and
right.
I will talk about it for an hour, and people will understand thoroughly and completely what you and I have been saying about it for the last two or three years.
Yeah. There was a top five list that we published on the Facebook page for Edge recently. And
that was number one.
I'm looking on the list, and the author really tried to list five microphones that she thought were the big ones being used right now. And I was amazed at how off base she was on at least half the mics. I mean, one of the mics on that list was an SM58, a live singing karaoke microphone. Can it work for voiceover? Yes, just like thousands of microphones can potentially be used to record voiceover. But
why make it hard on yourself?
To put that on a list of the best microphones, I mean, holy cow. Anyway.
Yeah. No, that said, an SM57 and an SM58 is a great microphone if you're Axl Rose.
Yeah.
But not if you're doing voiceover.
Not the ideal choice. Not if you're looking at top five mics. Yeah,
no,
definitely not.
No. But we'll be talking about that in that particular webinar. We'll give you more information about that.
Cool.
Because I don't think anyone's going to want to miss that, because I'm not going to let anything slide in that one. Exactly. Anyway. Well, I think it's time for some announcements here.
You got it, buddy.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
All right. Well, we've got a couple of great weeks coming up here. Next week on this very show, back here after the last time we had him on, I think was he in Florida last time? The last time we had him on. I think he had on a couple of times.
Yeah. Florida.
Yeah, Florida. That was quite a while ago, because that was me sitting in front of my in-laws' pool.
Yeah.
Roger Leopardi is going to join us. And if any of you know Roger, he's a great guy, very inspirational, knows this business inside out, backwards, sideways, and upside down. And he's got some great anecdotes and some great advice for all of us on how to bump up your career to the next level, because he did it, and there's a great way to do it. He's a big-time promo voice, so don't miss next week. Roger Leopardi, we always have a great time with him. Monday the 19th is Martin Luther King Day, but we're still doing a show. Who's going to be on it? It won't be Martin Luther King. I know that. But we will have somebody that. On Monday, January 26th, Mary Lynn Wissner will be with us. And of those of you who know Mary Lynn Wissner, you know we'll have a great time with her.
Oh, nice get.
Yeah, absolutely. And who are our donors this week?
Oh, wow. I didn't get an updated list, but I can tell you definitely who donated in the last 3 days was Eric Aragone. Eric was one of our big donors of the year, actually. When I tallied up all the donations we had all year, he was the top of the heap. But thank you, Eric. Martha Kahn, she's a subscriber. She's been sending in a regular donation. And thank you, everybody who's been making those donations, that either one-offs or on our subscription link on the PayPal links on our website. Whatever the technique that you wanted to give us money, it's very much appreciated in any amount. It's
Just up and to the left of Ella's head is the is the donation link, and we really appreciate that. One of the, you have to understand that we're paying for the bandwidth on here, and to make sure that we have no commercials from other people. You only want to see the commercials we present,
right?
And uninterrupted. And in order to do that, we need to got to pay Ustream. And they, of course, want to keep charging us more.
Yes. Like,
you're using up all your hours.
The more popular we are, the more cost. So thank you guys, too. And another thing we're going to be using a lot of that money you guys are sending our way is to set up a new studio when Dan makes it to California. So we're going to really kick it up a notch. I think it's going to be awesome.
We are going to be on par with Twit.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we're going to get a major step closer towards that for sure. Definitely.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife's got this great service. If you haven't heard about it yet, if you're doing audiobooks, long form work, and you're doing work for ACX and it's on your lap to handle the whole production, just go check out narratorhelper.com. Great place, a great resource for getting production, proofing, editing, and mastering for your audiobooks. And she's really got it dialed so that it'll be done efficiently, and a great resource. And she's had some great success so far doing this over the last few years.
Yeah. She was great to work with, by the way. And, you know, when I did a couple of books with her, and she made it so easy.
Very professional.
So check that out. The show logs. You know, we covered a lot of information tonight. If you forgot something or you wanted to check out what it was, we got a great friend, Jack DeGolia, who is watching this show. I think he's writing down everything that happens verbatim.
Yeah.
He must have been a court reporter in a previous life or something, or he knows shorthand or something like that. But every last detail of the show is in the show notes. So when the show comes up on YouTube, which probably be before midnight,
it will be.
By tomorrow, Jack will have the show notes up there. And if you want to find something, if there was something specific you wanted to listen to, it'll be right in there and you'll know exactly where it was in the show.
Such as little things like that where Dan and I couldn't remember something, or a web address, or he will make sure that that web address is in there so you guys don't have to go looking for it.
Absolutely. So thank you, Jack, for doing that. Of course, you can watch the show anytime on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just type in EWABS and you'll find all 172 episodes. We've done 172. You realize our four-year anniversary is coming up in March. It's no longer December. We're starting to slide.
I know.
You know, the first day of winter just means it's 3 months until spring.
I know.
Or 12 weeks, which is an even easier way to look at it.
It'll be here in no time.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be up to show 200 before no time.
I think I'll have traveled at least twice by that time. So it's going to go by quick.
Yeah. Well, that usually helps. Let's see what else we need. Oh, the podcast. You know, raise your hand in the chat room if you listen to the podcast. You know, if you can't make the show or if you want to listen to it again, it's in a couple of places. How can they get that?
Stitcher is a popular one. iTunes, of course, is probably the biggest podcasting podcast index that I've ever seen. But if you don't use any of those, you just want to figure out how to listen to the audio version of the show, you can just go to our website, or go to the ewabs.podbean.com page. It's sort of like its own website that archives all of the audio versions of the show. So if you're an audio person, you prefer to listen to it while you're mowing the lawn, driving, cooking dinner, whatever. Great place to do that.
All right. And make sure you like us on Facebook. If all of you watch this, you already liked us on Facebook, do it again. Find one of the four or five pages we have and like each one of them.
Exactly.
You know, unlike it and like it again. And just so we get the statistics that show that.
And something we talked about, but if you really like engaging about these topics off the show, we do have our own private Facebook group on Facebook. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can contact Dan and he can invite you in. And you can be a part of the discussion that we continue, you know, all the time on our own Facebook group, which is cleverly called EWABS.
EWABS. That makes it a lot easier. All righty. Well, we got to thank the sponsors.
One last time.
And we have more time to do it tonight. So, again, thanks to Harlan Hogan at VoiceOver Essentials. VoiceOver Essentials.
Yeah, VoiceOver Essentials.
Why do I keep getting confused on that?
I don't know.
Your employer's Edge Studio, that big, nice logo right behind you. You can, like, do the Carol Merrill thing right behind the Edge thing. And you don't even know who Carol Merrill is, do you?
No, but I did just happen to notice that Dave Smith sent in another donation.
Ah, thank you, Dave Smith.
Thanks, David.
No, Carol Merrill was the model on Let's Make a Deal. And of course, her thing was door number two.
Exactly. Hey, check this out. I got someone that sent in some credits.
And EWABS wishes to thank our loyal sponsors, Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials, everything for the beginner to professional talent supplies, Bob Merkel with his amazing VoiceSam demo software. If you want it listened to, VoiceSam does the job. Our own Dan Leonard, the home studio master and voice emporium. He'll get you up and running and finish off your VO project. Then last but not least, VO Studio Tech. When you have a problem and need a solution, call George.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for sending that in. At the beginning of the show, I put in the chat room, if anybody wants to submit their own version of the credits, we'll play it. And he jumped in there. He jumped at the chance. So thanks a lot for doing that, Mike. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. So thanks for all of those. And of course, thanks to our wives who put up with this every week. Jeez, 3 years they've been put three almost 4 years they've been putting up with it.
That's right.
Ella was in diapers when we started this show.
Hey, I'm looking at our email. Another donation. Diane Merritt. Looks like she was catching up for a year's worth of shows, because wow.
Thank you, Diane.
That is one heck of a donation. Thank you.
We love you anyway, but
jeez. Very much appreciated. That was really, really kind.
Yeah. Well, she's usually busy on Monday night. We haven't seen much of her.
I know. I think it's going to be fun to play with the time of the show, and I look forward to being able to do one that's more international audience friendly.
Yes, because they do want to watch us in the Seychelles Islands and in the Canary Islands.
That's right.
Which are in these odd time zones that we've got to figure out. But yeah, I think when we get it, we're going to try this one of the. Maybe we'll try it before I even get to California. We'll do it earlier in the day, like when you haven't washed your hair in the morning. Yeah, so we'll make it a lunch show.
Exactly.
You know, like nearly noon or something like that.
I'll have my roll out of bed at noon look.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. All right. Let's see what else. Oh, we have to thank our producer, Catherine Kernan. She got us great guests here.
She Jeff really
Howell,
did.
Jody Gottlieb.
She's been on a roll.
She has been. And keep up the good work. Shelley Avellino for doing a wonderful job in the chat room tonight, getting the questions out there to us so we could present them to our guest. And you can ask as many as you want, Shelley.
Yes, absolutely. Carte blanche, you have.
Yes. Yeah. Jack DeGolia for helping us with the show notes. Tim McKean for doing VoiceOver Essentials. Check them out. Those are piling up. And Lee Penny, just because he's Lee Penny. And he helps us with the podcast.
He makes the podcast happen, folks. Without Lee, no podcast.
Right. Okay, we're jibber-jabbering here, and now we're vamping. And we don't have to, because we're done.
Hallelujah.
All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Next week, of course, we have Roger Lee Aparti. And if you have a question, email it into us, ewabshop@gmail.com, and we will cover it thoroughly inside out and backwards. In the meantime, we'll see you next week. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Have a good week, everybody, and a great 2015.
Sayonara.